Chapter 8. By the time Buzz got to the top of the gravel slope, Carter, Jane, and Vanessa already had a plan for what to do next. So much for taking a break and catching his breath. "We're going to head over there," Carter said, pointing along the edge of the ravine. Maybe 50 feet to the right, there was a stand of tall trees clumped together. One of them had come down, recently, from the look of it. Now it stretched across the gap like a natural bridge. Buzz looked down into the ravine. It was like looking off the roof of a 10-story building, and it gave him a hollow feeling in the pit of his stomach. "You want to cross that thing?" Buzz said. "Do you see a better way?" Carter asked. Already, they were on the move, hiking laterally along the edge of the chasm. It didn't take long to reach the base of the tree. Dirt clods hung off the exposed roots, and the leaves on the branches at the far side were still green. "I bet it came down in that storm last night," Jane said. She looked nervous but ready to go. Buzz took a deep breath. "Shouldn't we vote on this or something?" he said. "What is it with you guys and voting?" Carter asked. "That's what we always used to do at home," Vanessa told him. She meant before their parents had married each other. "Like when we'd rent a movie and couldn't decide what to watch." "Yeah, well, we just rent both movies. That way, everyone gets what they want," Carter said. "I'm not turning around now." "I think I'm going to," Vanessa said, and put a hand on Buzz's shoulder. "You don't have to come if you don't want. You can keep watch." Buzz was already dripping with sweat, but he felt his face go a little warmer still. Keep watch? That was what the popular kids always told the fat kid when they didn't want him around, and he wasn't even that fat. "I'm coming," he said before he could think about it too much. "Just go." Carter went first and climbed right up through the roots to stand at the very base of the trunk. The whole tree was huge, at least 3 feet thick. "Feels solid to me," he said. Then he dropped onto his belly, straddled the trunk with his legs, and started pulling himself across. Buzz watched what he did, trying to memorize every move. The only time he'd done anything even close to this, it had been with a game controller, an avatar, and a couple of spare lives. He couldn't help feeling a little jealous of Carter. This kind of stuff was always so easy for him. In about 3 seconds, it seemed, Carter had made it across and was dropping to the ground on the far side. "No sweat," he shouted back. "Come on." Jane scrambled up the next and started right across. Once she was out of earshot, Vanessa turned to Buzz. "You really don't have to," she said. "I know," he answered, but he was still going to do it. There were probably worse ways to die, not that he could think of any right now. As soon as Jane had made it across, Buzz gritted his teeth and climbed up onto the base of the trunk. "Stay low," Vanessa said softly, "and don't look down." "Stay low, don't look down," he repeated, "and keep moving." Buzz nodded, took one more deep breath, and then inched his way out over the edge of the ravine. This was like a platform game, only real. There was nothing to be afraid of, right? "Nothing to be afraid of," he muttered to himself. "Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be..." That's when he looked down. The only thing between him and the rocky bottom was 10 stories of empty air. His stomach swooped, and his heart started thumping even faster. One false move, he knew, and he was boulder meat. "That's why you don't look down," Buzz thought. "Keep going," Vanessa yelled somewhere behind him, always the cheerleader, his sister. "Okay," he mumbled again. "Okay, okay, okay. I can do this." He reached out, got a grip on the trunk in front of him, and pulled himself a little farther along. Then he did it again, and then again. By the time he'd found a rhythm, Buzz realized he was more than halfway across. The far side of the ravine had somehow become the near side. "You got it?" Vanessa shouted. A few more pulls and he found himself climbing down through the fallen tree's branches to where Carter and Jane were waiting for him. In a weird way, the whole thing had gone by quickly, like a fast nightmare. "See," Jane said, "it wasn't that bad, was it?" "Nah," Buzz said, playing it off. The truth was, he felt incredible, and incredibly relieved. Right here, Carter reached out and gave him a rare high five. "You did it." "Yeah," Buzz said. "That was the hard part. Going back will be cake." "Yeah. Wait, what?" Buzz realized he hadn't even thought about that. This was not a one-way trip. He was going to have to crawl back across that tree if he wanted to get back to the Lucky Star. Still, there was nothing to do about it now. He was going to enjoy some solid ground for a while and worry about everything else later. Either that, or the rescue plane could just pick him up here when it came. As soon as Vanessa reached the others on the far side of the tree bridge, they all continued on together, up toward the rocky point Carter had spotted from the beach down below. Coming out onto the open ground of the summit, the view was almost exactly what she'd expected, like a whole world of water spread out across around them. Straight down, she could see the Lucky Star where it sat, ruined on the rocks. And behind them, as Vanessa turned all the way around, the shape of the island itself came clear for the first time. The whole thing was a giant ring of land encircling an enormous lagoon of the most brilliant aqua-blue water Vanessa had ever seen. "It's just a big circle," Buzz said. "It's called an atoll," Jane told them. "That circle used to be the top of a volcano. Now it's sinking back into the ocean." "How fast?" Buzz asked cautiously. "Not that fast," Jane said. The ridge where they were standing seemed to be the tallest and wildest part of the island. As the land arced around, it thinned out into a green and sandy brown strip on the opposite side, divided in several places by bright blue stripes of water. From here, that part of the island looked like giant stepping stones. The other thing that had become painfully clear was just how empty the ocean was all around them. There was no sign of any other land, no sign of civilization for that matter, and worst of all, no sign of Dex and Joe. "Anyone seen them?" Vanessa asked. When nobody answered, it was like something breaking into a million pieces. She hadn't realized how much she'd been counting on finding them until it became clear that it wasn't going to happen. Now it seemed like she'd been fooling herself all along. "Maybe they're in the woods or something," Jane said, "and we just can't see them." "Maybe," Vanessa said, but she didn't believe it. She'd heard what Carter said earlier. That life raft had been blown clear away from the boat in seconds, and it hadn't been traveling toward the island. Besides, if Dex and Joe were here, they would have found the Lucky Star by now, wouldn't they? The island wasn't that big. "Sorry, guys," Carter said. "I guess we came all the way up here for nothing." "It's not your fault," Vanessa said. "I didn't say it was my fault," he started up. "Relax," she said. She'd already had enough of Carter for one day. "I was just saying..." And then it was Buzz who interrupted them. "Actually," he said, "there is one other thing we could do."